removing the gloves.
We've gone one step further, Burton said. We have whole rooms that are nothing more than glorified glove boxes. Instead of a glove for your hand, there's a whole plastic suit for your entire body. You'll see what I mean.
They walked down the curved corridor to a room marked Central Control. Levitt and Stone were there, working quietly. Central Control was a cramped room stuffed with electronic equipment. One wall was glass, allowing workers to look into the adjacent room. Through the glass, Hall saw mechanical hands moving the capsule to a table and setting it down. Hall, who had never seen a capsule before, watched with interest. It was smaller than he had imagined. No more than a yard long, one end was seared and blackened from the heat of re-entry. The mechanical hands, under Stone's direction, opened the little scoop-shaped trough in the side of the capsule to expose the interior. Our next step, he said, is to determine whether there is still anything in the capsule which is biologically active. Suggestions?
A rat, Levitt said. Follow with a rhesus, Burton said.
Stone put his hands back on the controls, moving them gently. Through the glass, they saw the black metal fingers move to the far wall of the adjoining room, where several caged lab animals were kept, separated from the room by hinged, airtight doors. The wall reminded Hall oddly of an automat. The mechanical hands opened one door and removed a rat in its cage, brought it into the room, and set it down next to the capsule. The rat looked around the room, sniffed the air, and made some stretching movements with its neck. A moment later, it flopped over onto its side, kicked once, and was still. It happened with such astonishing speed, Hall could hardly believe it had happened at all.
My God, Stone said. What a time course.
Next, Stone directed the mechanical hands back to the wall, opening another door and withdrawing a cage containing a large brown adult rhesus monkey. The monkey screeched as it was lifted and banged against the bars of its cage. Then it died, after flinging one hand to its chest with a look of startled surprise. Stone shook his head. Well, at least we know it's still biologically active. Whatever killed everyone in Piedmont is still there and still as potent as ever. Hall opened the door marked miscellaneous, thinking to himself that his job was indeed miscellaneous, keeping alive an old man and a tiny infant, both of them vital to the project and both of them, no doubt, difficult to manage. He found himself in another small room similar to the control room he had just left. This one also had a glass window looking inward toward a central room. In the room were two beds, and on the beds, Peter Jackson and the infant. But the incredible thing was the suits. Standing upright in the room were four clear plastic inflated suits in the shape of men. From each suit, a tunnel ran back to the wall. Obviously, one would have to crawl down the tunnel and then stand up inside the suit. Then one could work with the patients inside the room. The woman who was to be his assistant was working in the room, bent over the computer console. She introduced herself as Karen Anson and explained the working of the computer.
We're using the MedCom program. Do you know it?
Hall shook his head.
It's a medical data analyzer. You feed in information and it will diagnose the patients and tell you what to do for your therapy or to confirm the diagnosis.
Hall looked through the glass at the two patients. Well, what's been done on them so far?
Nothing. At level one, they were started on intravenous infusions, plasma for Peter Jackson, dextrose and water for the baby. They both seem well hydrated now and in no distress.
She showed him how to crawl through the tunnel, and then, imitating her, he stood up inside the platform.